When I look out today on this congregation, I'm going to be very honest with you. There are faces that I see sitting out there today, people that I see in this congregation, that I would be so pleased and feel so blessed if you would turn to the Lord today, and before you left this service, if you could tell us that you know that it's well with your soul. That's my greatest desire towards you, but there's somebody that has a greater desire towards that than what I do or what anybody else here does, and that's God. It's not His will that any perish. God has the greatest desire for people to be saved than anybody has. And I hope today, lost friend, that it will become the great desire of your heart to be saved. You know, if God wants you to be saved, and we know that He does, and the people of God that have been saved want to see you saved, I mean, that's a wonderful blessing, but if you don't desire to be saved, then you never will be saved. You've got to desire that above everything else in this life. And I'm going to ask everybody that's here today to do this with me, if you will. I want to ask, first of all, I want to ask everybody that's here today that professes to be saved. I want you to think about with me today as I try to share with you what the Lord has placed upon my heart today. I want you to think about and reflect upon the time that the Lord saved your soul. And if you do not have a testimony of salvation today, I want you to listen today to the things that I want to share with you from the Word of God, and I want you to just give great consideration to the condition of your eternal soul. I want to bring a message today entitled, "Who Do Men Say That I Am?" And that's a question that Jesus once asked when He was here on earth. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And we're going to read some scripture from the 16th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. But I want to ask for your prayers. And I came here today to stand before you determined to try to the best of my ability to preach to you the truth of God's Word. And, you know, it's my great prayer, and I'm thankful. I told that church that I was with yesterday, Pleasant Valley Missionary Baptist Church, I told them how thankful that I was as they were celebrating yesterday their 50th year as a church. And I told them how thankful that I was for them that through 50 years they had stood for the truth. And I'm thankful through the years since 1924 that Fairview Memorial has stood for the truth. And in a world when the truth of God's Word is more challenged all the time because you know, the ideas and the theology of men, it just continues to grow, doesn't it? And people begin to come up with new ideas all of the time. And, you know, if you look back through history, and this is really, this is really strange when you think about it, but if you look back, especially in the history of our nation, if you look back through the history, you will find, and you can read about, you know, different denominations and different religious orders that believe different things about God. But, you know, in the day that you and I live in, there are more and more new religions, if you want to use that term. There are more and more assemblies that are you know, coming in all the time. And there are many of them today that even have very little to even do with God. You know, they're just about feeling good and all of these things. And I pray that as, God allows time to go on and more heresies, and like I said, the ideas of men come into play, that we will just stand for the truth. We need to stand up for the truth, don't we? We need to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. The truth needs to be preached to people today, like it always has been. And I pray that we will stand for the truth. It won't make you popular. You know, if you're looking for popularity, it won't make you popular, but God will stand with you if you'll stand for His Word. God only made, and I'm going to repeat this again, and I know you've heard me say this, and you've heard many others say this, but God only made one way for people to be saved. He didn't make a way for this person over here and another way for this person. He made one universal plan. He made one way for all people to be saved. And Jesus said, I'm it. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I want to read these scriptures from Matthew chapter 16, beginning with verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'll stop my reading there with verse 18. Now, as I said giving to you the title that I want to use again today, Jesus asked a simple question. He asked His disciples really a very simple question. Who are men saying that I am? Well, obviously they had a lot of different opinions. Obviously they had a lot of people had a lot of different views on that. The disciples were obviously hearing many different things concerning this. Well, Lord, you know, there's some that are saying that you're John the Baptist. There's others that are saying you're Elijah or one of the other prophets. I mean, they're, you know, Lord, in answering your question, they're saying different things about you, about who you are. And so the Lord narrowed the question and said to His disciples, well, okay, who is it? Who do you say that I am? And you notice, as you do sometimes in the scriptures, at this point it seems to have become more of a one-on-one conversation between the Lord and Simon Peter. And I love the boldness of His answer. And I love these scriptures. I love to read these scriptures and think about what happened here, because when Jesus turned this question directly towards his disciples and say, and said, "Oh, okay, well, in consideration of what you've told me about what men are saying, about who other men think that I am, who do you, my disciples, who do you say that I am?" And, the Apostle Peter didn't seem to hesitate at all. He just spoke up very boldly, very emphatically, and he said, "Well, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God." But I want you to notice something in this, that it wasn't the answer that the Apostle Peter gave to Jesus. It wasn't that the Apostle Peter believed that fact that was as of great importance to Jesus as it was how that he was able to make that statement. Because there are a lot of people in the world today, and I want to speak to you here for a little while about the great difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus. There are a lot of people in the world today that have read the Scriptures. I guarantee you, there's a lot of people that have read the Bible. There are a lot of people that you could ask them today, there are many more people that have heard about the Lord Jesus Christ than what you and I may even realize, honestly. And you could go around our country today or around the world today as far as that goes, and if you ask the question of people, who is Jesus Christ or who was Jesus Christ, however you were to ask that question, there are a lot of people in the world today that would answer you and say, "Well, he was the Son of God. Jesus Christ, he was God's Son. You know, he was born of a virgin and he came into this world. Jesus was that man long ago that died on the cross for the sins of the world." Folks, listen, there's a lot of people in the world today that could answer that question and would answer it without hesitation, and yet they don't know the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. It wasn't so much here that when Jesus pronounced this blessing upon Simon Bar-Jonah for what he had, the way that he had answered his question, it wasn't so much that he knew who Jesus was, but it was that the way that it had been revealed unto him. And folks, listen, there's a big difference today in knowing about the Lord. There's a big difference today in knowing the facts. And you know, honestly, this is where so many people have fallen short today, and they've either been deceived or they have deceived themselves into believing that if they simply believe the facts, if they simply believe that Jesus was the Son of God, if they simply believe that he did die for their sins, if they simply believe that he did raise from the dead and ascend back to God the Father, that if they believe those facts and just embrace those facts, that they'll be saved. And folks, that's not true. That's just not true. You know, I can tell you that from my own experience in life, because I believed those facts before that I was ever saved. I mean, can you testify to that today? That you believe that Jesus was the Son of God, that you believe that he was crucified on the cross, that he died for not only your sins, but for the sins of the whole world. Can you profess today that you believe those things before that you ever got saved? I sure did. I remember being convinced of some of those things when I was just a very young child, but I still wasn't saved. Salvation is not just accepting what the scriptures say about Jesus. Do we have to believe those things? Well, sure we do. We have to believe. Yes, we have to have that intellectual belief. Yes, we must believe. If we look at what we find in the 11th chapter of Hebrews in verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please God, because he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And certainly you're not going to come to God without even believing in his existence. So there is an intellectual belief that a person must possess in order to be saved. But scriptures like John 3 and 16 that tell us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That belief that the scriptures is talking about, that faith that believes to the saving of the soul, goes beyond the intellectual belief of the facts according to the scriptures. So I hope today that all of you here today, you know, if you're here today and you've never been saved, I certainly hope that you believe those things about Jesus, but more so, I pray that you will come to know him as your Savior, as your Lord and King. So let's look at what the Apostle Peter said here, or what Jesus said to the Apostle Peter. "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." That's how, and Jesus knew that. He knew that about Simon Peter. He knew when Peter told him, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of living God," Jesus was aware of the fact that that's the way that the Apostle Peter knew that. That's how he possessed that knowledge. Not because somebody had told him, not because flesh and blood had revealed it unto him. Let me ask you a question. Let's reason together today. If someone stands up before you and they ask you a list of questions, and they ask you, "Do you believe that Jesus was the Son of God?" And you answer in the affirmative, "Yes." "Do you believe that he died for your sins?" And you answer, "Yes." "Do you believe that he rose from the dead?" And you answer, "Yes." And they tell you, "Well, then just accept the Lord and everything's okay with your soul." Is that not flesh and blood revealing him unto you? What else would you call it? What else would you call it? If there is no witness of God in your soul, if God has not revealed the Lord Jesus unto you, if God has not made it known unto you that he is indeed both Lord and Christ, if God has not revealed that knowledge unto you, then you have not attained unto the knowledge of salvation. You've only got what somebody has told you. You know, my hope in God, and I love the scriptures. I do. I love the Word of God. I love to take my Bible, and I love to read it, and I love to study it. And I have a great love for God's Word. But the witness of Jesus Christ in my life is not based upon my Bible. It's not based up just upon the fact that I believe what I find written in his Word. Folks, I had a personal experience with the Lord. I can relate to what the Apostle Peter said. I want you to think about it. I want you to think about that as I asked you earlier, if you profess salvation today. I want you to think about that. Can you relate to that? Can you relate to that time when the Lord did something in your heart that made you to truly be able to say, and I'm talking about, friends, listen, I'm talking about saying it, being able to say it in a way that God will recognize it, because the Lord's the one we've got to give account to, isn't he? The Lord's the one that we've got to answer to. Let me tell you something. I assure you of this today, friends. You don't ever want to stand before God one day and say unto him, well, Lord, everything's okay with me, because there was a time when this preacher that I knew told me that everything was okay between God and I. No, you don't want that. I assure you that you don't want that. You want something, and you need to seek for that. You want assurance from the Lord himself that everything is all right with your soul. And that was the great blessing that Jesus pronounced here upon Simon Peter. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, because it's not, you don't just know this because flesh and blood has revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven has revealed it unto you. Folks, listen, you need that experimental knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you need to seek after him until you get it. You need to seek after the Lord until the Lord accepts your repentance, until the Lord accepts your faith, and you need to seek him until he comes and he touches your soul, and you know by no other experience than the Holy Spirit of God bearing witness with your spirit that you have become a child of God. And folks, listen, if you need to seek after that with everything that you have until you know it, until you know it. Because the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and he said, no man speaking by the Spirit calleth Jesus accursed, and no man can say that Jesus Christ is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, what does that mean? Well, certainly today, somebody could stand up here. I mean, if they didn't even believe it today, certainly somebody, anybody could stand up and say the words, couldn't they? Anybody could stand up and say, Jesus Christ is Lord. But what Paul was saying was that, listen, nobody can really, in their heart, nobody can really embrace him truly as their Lord and Master except by the revelation of the Holy Spirit of God. That's the only way. It's experimental knowledge. It always has been, and it always will be. And those who are truly saved, and folks, I will stand for this until the day that I die, those that are truly saved have an experience in their life where they can relate to you a time when they were touched by the Master's hand, when God touched their soul, when God made it known to them that they were saved, not just something that some flesh and blood man told them, but they received the witness of the Spirit with their own spirit, and God revealed it unto that person that they had truly come to know him in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. True salvation has always been that way, and it's still that way today. And there have been many people through the years that have professed falsely. You know, many no doubt did so in sincerity, but they professed falsely because they had never really experienced God's true salvation in their soul. They just simply had something that somebody had told them about, and they took you know, men on their at their word and never really had it. If you truly have it, God witnessed to your soul that you've got it. I believe firmly in the time and place experience. Not the time on the clock, not the time of day, not even the month. You know, some people don't remember the day that they were saved. Some people don't remember the exact month they were saved. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about having an experience with the Lord Jesus Christ where you can say that He is Christ, that He is the Son of God, that He is the Lord of my life. And you can say that because God Himself has revealed it unto you down in the inward man that it is so. That it's so. Are you without that here today? If I ask you today to relate to me the time in your life when you really came to know that Jesus Christ is Lord, can you do that? Can you relate that to me today? Can you stand up and tell this congregation today? If I ask you today, can you stand up and tell this congregation today about the time when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke peace to your soul? Can you do that today? Let me tell you, folks, if you got it, you shouldn't be shy about telling it. I mean, if God has really saved your soul, you shouldn't be one bit shy about being willing to stand up and tell the world about what the Lord did for you. The Apostle Peter said, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready to give an answer to every man that asks you of the hope that's in you with meekness and with fear. But listen, there's no need in telling something that you don't have. It won't do you any good to profess what you don't possess. If you don't have it, you need to seek God for it. If you don't have that experience in your life where you came under great conviction of sin and you realized that you were lost and separated from God and you sought after the Lord yourself for the salvation of your soul. Folks, I'm going to tell you something today. I can't save you from your sins. And don't ever let any other man tell you that he can save you from your sins. Salvation is of the Lord, and it's only wrought by God's power. And all that I am able to do today as a preacher of the gospel is to point you to the one that's able to take away your sins. That's all I can do. Anything beyond that, I'll be a deceiver because I don't have the power. All that I can do, all that we can do as a church here today is to point you to the Lord Jesus, point you to the Lamb of God that can take away your sins and pray for you that you'll find forgiveness. But if you came here, or if you ever do come here, expecting me or expecting this church to save you, you're going to be disappointed. And I promise you that we're not going to do that. Folks, we're not going to do that. We're going to point you to the one that can save you. I've heard some of those testimonies. Have you? I've heard in my life, I've heard some of those testimonies where somebody has said, well, you know, I was at church and they were giving an invitation to people to come up front and accept the Lord. And so I walked up there. And the preacher talked to me for a minute and told me everything was all right because I had believed, you know, in Jesus. And so I've heard many of those experiences from people. Folks, I'm going to tell you the truth. They don't do a thing for me. I can't relate to that whatsoever. But when I hear those times about, when I hear those experiences about people who through the preaching of the gospel and the working of the Holy Spirit in their heart came to realize that they were lost and without God, and that they needed a Savior, and that under that great load of conviction and condemnation of sin, they begin to seek after the Lord, and they begin to seek Him with great fear in their heart, and realizing that they were lost and without God, and they sought after the Lord until something happened to them that came from God. Now, I can relate to that. I can relate to that, and I don't want to confuse anybody. I'm not saying that it has to, I'm not trying to tell you today that it has to be some kind of big, powerful, explosive type conversion. That's not what I mean. I'm talking about seeking the Lord for yourself until He tells you that you've been saved, until God lets you know that you've been saved. That's what Jesus built His church upon. You know that? He built His church upon those that know Him in a pardon and forgiveness of sin, and those that He knows as His children. I want you to think about what happened there. Who do men say that I am? The Apostle Peter said, "You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "Oh, bless you, Simon. Bless you, Simon Barjona, for the way that you know that, because flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you, but my Father in heaven revealed it to you. And I say unto you that thou art Peter." There was a two-way knowledge there, wasn't there? There was a two-way relationship. The Apostle Peter expressed and confessed that he knew Jesus spiritually, and Jesus said, "Well, Peter, I know who you are. I know you're my child, and it's upon this rock that I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." And I'll tell you what, through the years, the Lord has never added anybody to His church that hasn't had a true experience of salvation. That's been the rock that He built His church upon. And it continues. The Bible tells me in the second chapter of Acts that the Lord added daily to the church those that were saved. And that's what He still does today. Glad I'm saved. Thankful to God for salvation. Thankful for what I was taught as a child. You know, nobody, the people that I grew up around, they didn't try to explain big things to me when I was a kid. They just told me, when you get saved, you'll know. When you get saved, God will let you know. He'll let you know. He'll let you know when you need to be saved, and He'll let you know when He saves you. Pretty simple answer, but it's true, isn't it? God will let you know. I've heard those, I've heard of those children that, they want to drill their parents and say, "Well, how will I know?" And thank God for those wise Christian parents that just said, "Well, you'll know. You'll know." That's the way it is, isn't it? You'll know. God will let you know. I'll tell you this, folks. Listen, I'll tell you this, my lost friends today. If you'll seek after the Lord, if you'll seek Him with all of your heart, you'll find Him. I can give you that promise from the Word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. "But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord, thou shalt find Him, if you seek Him with all your heart and with all your soul." If you seek the Lord with everything you've got, you'll find Him. You'll find Him. You've got that promise from God that you will find Him if you'll just seek Him with all your strength, with everything you've got. If you'll seek after the Lord with salvation being your greatest desire, you'll find him. Because he'll give you what you need. He'll grant you repentance. He'll grant you faith to believe. But you've got to seek him with everything that you have. If you've ever noticed here in our services at Fairview Memorial, when somebody comes up here and bows and prays, you don't see people walking around saying, get up now, you've been there long enough, get up and just, you know, name it and claim it. Folks, I don't believe it. I don't believe that's how people get saved. I believe they seek after the Lord until they know that they've been saved. And so let's have a song. And I want to plead with you today. To seek the Lord. Seek him today. Seek him for the salvation of your soul.